Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning and welcome to worship this day. I'm Pastor Lindsay, one of the clergy that serves at this congregation. Welcome to you those who are worshiping in person this day, and welcome if you are worshiping with us online. This is a special day in the life of the church. Today we have 8 students who are going to be confirmed in the faith, and we have one young person who is going to be transferring their membership into our church congregation. And it is a special joy because we are welcoming back with us Reverend Dr. Sherry Lewis Parker Lewis and her husband Pastor George. They are with us in worship today. Let's welcome them. God is good. Amen. Amen.
Please join me in the opening prayer. Dear Lord of all, be in our worship today as we lift up our prayers, our presence, our songs, and our offerings. Awaken your kingdom in us so that we may grow into people you desire. Help us to love and accept love from others. Guide us to see through the worries of this world so that we can know and answer your call on our lives. In your holy name as we pray. Amen.
Thank you for sharing with us your gift of music. You have a beautiful talent. Thank you for sharing that with us and letting us hear a little bit of your beauty. A great treat for us today. Thank you. I would like to invite forward Pastor Sherry to share some words of greeting to us from the congregation. Great to have you here.
Thank you so much. I'm going to just start by lifting Colin's name up. Colin, it was a joy when I came in just to hear your greeting. And to hear you play again, but I want to just tell you what I just love about you is your amazing spirit. Would the rest of the confirmands agree that he is what a great guy? Colin, let me just use the word charming is what you are. So thank you just so much for being a part of this church and giving your life. And I do want to say, I am so, so pleased to be here. I give thanks to Pastor John and Pastor Lindsay for inviting me to be a part of this. I greet everyone here, and I have not had a chance to greet every person in person yet, but I will. And I also greet those who are worshiping in their homes today as well. And I want to say that if you are at home worshiping, well, you get to stand up and sing. So be sure and do that. The rest of us are kind of sitting here humming, and it's frustrating. So be sure that you're singing. It is lovely to be here. I wanted to just give you a little bit of update of us. We've been in our new home for 4 months. It's pretty much put together. We haven't put many pictures on the walls, but we're working on that. I had a trigger finger and had an operation on Friday. So it's not any big thing, but if you're wondering what this purple accessory is, that's what that is. It is, it's fun to be semi-retired. The reason I'm not telling you more about my health issues is because I'm only semi-retired. It is, George, we've bought a lawnmower. He's out on that a lot, and now he is began the fight against the oak leaves, which will go on for a long time. And we just got a snowblower, so George is busy. And then for me, I'm quilting a little bit more. I'm reading, probably about 3 books a week because I have time. And so that's great. And you're probably glad that I'm not here because I'd be telling you the plots of everything. I'm also working part-time for the United Methodist Foundation of Michigan, and that is such a blessing. I thought at this point in doing that I'd be preaching, but there's not a lot of that going on or teaching. So what I'm doing is coaching individual clergy. I'm working with clergy women who are early in their appointments, and I'm helping groups, coaching them through to how to have confidence and competence when talking about finances. I'm also working with small membership churches on generosity and stewardship. So most of that is by Zoom or by phone. I've been to a few churches, but for the most part, I'm enjoying myself, and I've discovered 2 things. One is I know a lot more than I thought I did. I mean, that's kind of amazing. And the second thing is I've discovered that almost every time I'm meeting with someone, I want to say something like, well, in Brighton, this is what they do. And so I've had to control myself and stop saying that and say things like, well, I served a church once where this is what they did. And the reason I say that is because I miss you so much. I mean, it's just been 4 months, and it's not just missing being here in front of you, it's missing hearing your stories. And I know that for each of you, I know your stories. We could sit down and I want to hear about your families. I want to hear what you're doing and how you're making it through this time. It's hard, but I want to assure you that George and I are in prayer for you as a congregation and as individuals, as we know of things that are happening. We continue to do that. We pray for Lindsay and John and their family. We pray for this community and, of course, for the nation and for the world in these challenging times. And this is what I'm confident of, is that this congregation continues to make a difference. You make a difference as individuals in the world, lifting people up, and you make a difference in this community. I love that the theme this year is living a generous life, talking about stewardship and generosity, because you already know what that's about. You know about it in your families, you know about it with each other, and you know what this church can do and has done, and it is just such a blessing. Confirmands, man, you are the last youth that I will have the opportunity to confirm. And I don't see this as an end. I see it as a beginning, especially what a special class, that the fruit that you will bear in the name of Jesus Christ in the years ahead will be an amazing blessing for this world. And I am so excited to be just a small part of what's happening in your lives. Thank you so much for welcoming me back.
Amen, amen. God is good. It is great to be in worship this day. Will you join me now in a time of prayer? Please, please pray with me. Oh, holy and loving God, as we gather for this time of worship, whether we are physically in the sanctuary or we are worshiping from our homes, we gather as a greater community of faith, coming to worship and to rejuvenate and to focus our minds and center ourselves upon you. And the busyness of the weeks that we hold and the things that we encounter every day, whether it is school or it is work or it is volunteerism, we seek to do those things to glorify and to honor you. We seek to live generous lives modeled after you, Lord. So now, Lord, hear and speak to us through these words of Scripture. Hear our prayers as we call out to you this day. Oh, Lord, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our heart, may they be pleasing in your sight. You, God, who are our rock and our Redeemer. And all God's children said, amen. Amen. Well, I grew up in Nebraska, and a fair warning, you're going to hear a few number of Nebraska stories since I'm from the great Cornhusker State. You've started to hear a few already, but you know I'm from Nebraska. And Nebraska being that great Cornhusker State, you think about agriculture, you think about planting, and I certainly do not have a green thumb. I'm not much of a gardener myself. I'm probably better at killing any plant that I receive. I've received some beautiful violets before. They were gorgeous for a few weeks. And I come from a long line of gardeners, though. My mom was a gardener. My grandmother was a gardener. My aunt is an outstanding gardener, and I also come from a long line of farmers on my mom's side of the family. You see, Mom grew up in rural Nebraska, a small farming community in the middle of the state, and she grew up helping Grandpa plant each spring and harvest each fall about this time of the year. It's this 4 or 6 week period of time of harvest. She also grew up kind of helping Grandpa tinker on the tractor and bring in that great harvest. In contrast, I come from the city. I come from the capital city, Lincoln, Nebraska. Maybe you've heard that news before. I'm proud of it. I come from the sidewalks, not the cornfields. I come from the middle-class community. And while I love to visit my grandparents' farm, many times a year growing up, we'd go probably about once a month. While I love to visit my grandparents' farm, I have to confess, I really don't know much about farming. I don't know a whole lot about planting or bringing in the harvest every fall. But I do know a thing or two about seeds. At least I know a thing or two about seeds theologically. Seeds. There's been a lot of great books written on seeds, a lot of great children's books written on seeds. There's this children's book by Amy Jill Levine. Now, Amy Jill Levine is a professor of New Testament studies at Vanderbilt. She herself is a Jewish woman, but she studies the New Testament scriptures and knows them well. And Amy Jill Levine wrote this children's book. It's called The Marvelous Mustard Seed. This children's book tells the story of this mustard seed capturing its power, capturing its beauty. And you see, this mustard seed is told in this children's story. It's the smallest of seeds. At first glance, this little mustard seed can't do much. And then the children in this book decide that they're going to plant it. See what happens. They're going to plant it. They're going to cover it up with dirt. They're going to wait a little bit. And soon the rain comes. The water comes. The sun comes out, there's a beautiful rainbow in the sky, and nothing happens yet. They don't see anything. Well, a little bit more time passes, and then something incredible happens. The children see a little sprout. I would imagine something kind of like this up on the screen with our Living a Generous Life logo here. They see a little sprout. And from that little sprout, the mustard seed begins to grow and grow and grow and grow. Well, as the children in this story notice, they start to kind of notice all of the living things around them. They notice from acorns, they get big, huge oak trees and cedars. There's cedar trees so large. Have you been to the redwoods in California before? They're so large you can't even like grasp your big hug around them. And they notice that from this tiny little mustard seed, an ordinary bush starts to come. But then it's not just an ordinary bush, something special. There's something special about this mustard seed. It starts to grow and grow and grow, and pretty soon it becomes this huge, gigantic tree, so large, in fact, that all of the children and all of the adults in the neighborhood, they come and they admire it. They see how big it is. And so it's so large, in fact, that birds start making their nest in its branches. They marvel at its beauty. And the children play in its shade, and they even hang swings, and they're swinging from, and it's becoming a great place of play for them. And they take the little pods of the mustard seed, and they harvest it into medicine, and they harvest it into spices. this little mustard seed. Well, the author of this book, Amy Jill Levine, reminds us that from this little thing came forth power and beauty like the kingdom of God. From itsy bitsy to giant and colossal, from impossible to see to unable to miss it. The kingdom of God is like this mustard seed, and Jesus spoke of it in the parable. Let's turn our attention to the screens as we hear from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 31 and 32. Jesus put before them another parable, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed into the field. It's the smallest of all of the seeds, but when it's grown and it has the greatest of shrubs and it becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and make the nests in its branches." The word of God for the people of God. It was just a seed. You could easily pass it over. You could easily miss it. It was just a seed. Perhaps it didn't look like much. After all, what can one seed possibly do? But when it was planted, when it was watered, when it was given sunlight, when it was given time, when it went through that whole process, what do we call it? Photosynthesis, right? When it was given time to grow and to develop, something marvelous took place. It transformed lives. It changed the world around it. It provided home for the birds and a joyful playground for the kids and medicine and spices. Just one mustard seed can make a difference. If we think about all of us, we can be like that little mustard seed. While we are just one, we can make a difference. I want to tell you another story about a woman who made a difference in her church community. This story is from the book called Planting a Seed of Peace. It was written by Rebecca Sealing, and this story takes place in Taiwan. It's the 1960s. I want to tell you this story about Mrs. Yang. Mrs. Yang looked around, and she lowered her head, shaking it slowly from side to side. There had been a big flood in her village in Taiwan, and so many of the homes had been destroyed. And the church building in her home had also been ruined, too. Well, every Sunday, Mrs. Yang would walk more than an hour to that little Mennonite church. Every week, she looked forward to worshiping there with her Christian family. And now that the church was gone, where would they worship? Where would they gather? Well, one Sunday morning, Mrs. Yang got up early as usual, and she started that long walk to church, and she prayed for her church family along the way. As she neared the place where the building had been, she could see the church, but the people, not the building. It dawned on her then that the church was still there. The church meant it was the people, not the building. We've been reminded of that in these most recent months when we've kept being the church, even when we haven't been in our building. Well, the group gathered in an old, tiny shed. It was a tight fit, but it was the place where the church could meet. The congregation knew that they needed another place to meet, but some of the people were old like Mrs. Yang, and their homes, too, had been damaged. They didn't have enough money for their own home repairs and construction, so how were they going to find enough money to build their own church home? Well, that morning, Pastor Ong led a prayer meeting, and the church prayed hard for money to build a new gathering place for that church. Pastor Ong also encouraged the people and said, "If we give what we can, our brothers and sisters in the Mennonite church will help also. God will provide." Mrs. Yang closed her eyes, she bowed her head, and she prayed silently. "God, I want to have a church building to meet in, but I am too old to help physically build. But I want to do something. Although I'm poor and I don't have much, please show me what I can give." Mrs. Yang opened her eyes with her head still bowed, and she was looking right at the ring on her finger. It was a special ring. Her husband had given it to her as a wedding gift. The ring meant so much to Mrs. Yang. She smiled as she remembered the many happy memories with her husband together. And suddenly, Mrs. Yang knew what she should give. She waited until the meeting was over, then quietly approached Pastor Ong. And Mrs. Yang slipped the ring off of her finger. She gave it to him and said, "It's all that I have. It's very old, but it's made of gold. Please, use it to help build the church. Please use it for the ministry of Christ. Please use it for transforming lives and changing the world and sharing the message of Jesus Christ." A tear formed in Pastor Ong's eyes as he realized the gift that Mrs. Yang was offering. She was giving her most valuable possession to God for the work of the church. Others in the church were also very generous, and they gave of what they had as well. And in a year and a half, a new church building was constructed. And Mrs. Yang praised God. "Thank you, God," she prayed, "for this new building where the church can once again worship and gather together." Mrs. Yang was just one woman, but she sure made a difference. She was one person, and she identified as being poor, of not having much. But she made a difference to God and to the church community and to the world around her. When she found herself bowing in prayer and clasping those hands tightly, she prayed, "God, I want to do something, but I'm poor. I don't have much. Show me the way." And can you imagine that? Looking down and discovering she had a wedding ring on her hand. I wish I could say that I'd be willing to give up my wedding ring if God was calling me to be that generous and to give, but I think it'd be really hard to do. I think it'd be really hard to turn over one of my most valuable possessions. Would you be able to give one of your most valuable possessions to bless others? Mrs. Yang's story, well, it reminds me of another woman. This woman is found in Scripture. This woman is a story of a poor, widowed woman in Scripture. As you hear this Scripture lesson this morning, it's I want you to know that it's Holy Week as we read this Scripture. It's Holy Week, so it's that time between Palm Sunday and Good Friday, Easter morning. And Jesus is in Jerusalem. He's in the temple with his disciples there. He's busy watching people come and go as they're worshiping and sharing their offerings. And as Jesus has been busy teaching, he stops for a moment. He kind of just canvasses the space around him and just kind of takes note of everything around him. And he observes what's taken place. So we turn to Mark chapter 12, verse 41 and through 44, and we hear this story. As Jesus sat opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury, then some rich people he saw put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, worth as much as about a penny. Then Jesus called his disciples and he said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all that she had to live on." All that she had to live on. Both Mrs. Yang and this woman from Scripture, they're focused on blessing others. They're keen. They have this great listening heart, this great listening ears about them to follow God's leading. They're willing to share their financial blessings, even if it's just worth a couple of pennies. They're willing to share that to bless others. They're generous women. Generosity, it's all about being focused on other people. It's all about focusing on loving other people, living in a way to bless others. You know, when I think about Mrs. Yang and this woman from Scripture, it makes me do this internal deep dive thinking, how am I going to be focused on blessing others? How might I bless someone today? How might you be a blessing to someone today? How might you bless someone this week or this month or this year? Of course, there's many ways to be a blessing to other people, but one way in which we give, one way in which we bless others is through the sharing of our tithes, through the sharing of our offerings, offering those gifts to God. Throughout the month of October, Pastor John and I have been inviting you to be in prayer. Of course, pray all the time, but throughout the month of October, we're inviting you to pray and discern and to think how you might be able to have a giving spirit like Mrs. Yang or like the poor widow in the scripture. Pastor John and I are inviting you to pray, Lord, where would you like me to be in my giving? Lord, where would you like me to be in my giving? It's this personal prayer, right? When we give, it's about giving from the abundance from which we have. When we give, we don't give to the church to budgets or to programs. We give as a part of our discipleship and following Jesus Christ. We give because everything we have in life is an amazing good gift from God, and it's a joy to be able to share those blessings with others. We give because God first gave to us. As you pray this prayer throughout the whole month of October, as you pray this prayer, I would invite you to listen. Listen to how God is calling you to give and listen. Sometimes it's that little subtle nudge, it's that gut feeling, that Holy Spirit working in your gut, that gut feeling just telling you what to do. Sometimes it's a great rush of wind or a big kick in the pants telling you what you need to step up and do. However it is that God speaks to you, I pray that you might have the courage to follow faithfully with that leading. Your giving is in response to all of the blessings that God has given you. We don't give to fund church budgets. We give as disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. I want you to imagine for a moment that you have a little mustard seed in your hand. I want you to imagine that it's there. You see it? It might be small. It might be just one seed, but it's powerful. It's powerful. It can make a difference. How are you going to use that seed that you've been given? Are you going to plant it? Are you going to let God send the rain and the light and let it grow and multiply? How are you going to use that gift you've been given to bless others? Lord, where would you like me to be in my giving? Amen. Let's pray. Oh, holy and loving God, from the beginning of time, you have given us amazing gifts. We look around at the beauty of your nature all around. When we walk outside, we see blue skies and gorgeous clouds and trees all around us, the beautiful colors of fall and some flowers. When we look around this room or we look around our homes, we see the beauty of people that you have created. All of it is a good and precious gift. We give you thanks for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to follow you and walk in your way, who taught us as disciples what it means to be peace, to be makers of peace in this world, and to show compassion and generosity. God, this day, encourage us that even if we feel like we are the poor widow trying to just make ends meet and we feel like we only have these two little pennies, work in our hearts that we might still share of what we have. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for each gift you give us. In Christ's name we pray.
Amen.
We come now to the time of confirmation, so I would invite the students to come forward, and you can make yourself spaced out across the front of the sanctuary here. This is a joyous occasion. Confirmands, I want you to look around the room. As you look out there, you see mentors, and church members, or siblings, or parents. And you look up here, you see Pastor Sherry that you've gotten to know so well throughout your time here at First United Methodist Church. As you look around this room, this is all an incredible group of people that love you, that care for you, that have watched you grow in the faith. Some of them were probably here the day you were baptized. They probably helped teach Sunday school lessons to you or vacation Bible school. Maybe they went on a mission trip with you and were part of your confirmation journey. And now we're coming to a moment where you get to claim the faith as your own. All those Bible lessons you've studied and the time you've spent together is because this fine group of people out here, we're a part of raising you in the faith. And today, you get to claim that faith as your own. So, brothers and sisters, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church, and we are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All of this is God's gift, given without a price. Through confirmation and through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew this covenant that was declared at our baptism. We acknowledge what God is doing for us, and we affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church.
It's my privilege to present to you candidates for baptism and for confirmation. And as I do this, I want to tell you what I'm thinking in my head. I am remembering meeting each of these young people, some of them when they were very, very young. I'm remembering their voices. I'm remembering times of education and their talents. I'm remembering their parents and the questions and the conversations that we've had. And what a privilege it has been to be on this journey with you, and a privilege to be in this moment as God's Holy Spirit settles now. I present for baptism Ethan Angelo Fassione and Isabel Alexi Singh. I present for confirmation Anna Atarian, Stephanie Barrett, Ryan Bell, Carly Bott, Ethan Fassione, Ryan Hempel, Colin Robertson, Isabel Singh. And I present Lucas Singh, who comes to our congregation as a new member, transferring his membership from Good Shepherd United Methodist Church.
Confirmation students, I'd invite you to turn and face Pastor Sherry and I, just kind of staying where you're at there. I have some questions for you. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, please say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and the power that God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, please say, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages and nations and races? If so, please say, I do. According to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? If so, say, I will. To the sponsors, to the mentors, to those gathered here, the parents, will you, as who sponsor these candidates, will you support, encourage them in the Christian life? If so, say, I will. And to the whole congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, do you reaffirm your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian life and faith and include these confirmation students, these young people before you now in your care? If so, please respond to the text written on the screen. With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness, that they may grow in their trust of God and be found faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. Amen.
Let us all gathered here join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Confirmands, I would invite you to sit down as we invite forward Ethan's family for baptism and Isabel's family. You can come forward and join Isabel over here as well. May the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day.
In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of the womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Declare his works to the nations, his glory among all the people.
Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless the gift of water and to those who will receive it, to wash away their sin, to clothe them in righteousness through their lives, and that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal Father, through Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. Amen. Pastor Sherry, I'd invite you to come around, come a little closer here. we come to the baptism font, a sign of God's grace poured out and given to us, a sign of forgiveness of sin, a sign of new birth and new life. Ethan, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Family, if you'd like to come place a hand upon Ethan, let's pray a prayer of blessing. Pastor Sherry, join us, please. May the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God's blessings. You can go have a seat now. Isabel, I'd invite you to come forward to the baptism font. Isabel, this life-giving water is offered to all of us. God's grace is wrapped upon you this day. Every time you see water, may you be reminded of the beauty of God's love for you. Isabel, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Would you like to lay your hands a blessing, Isabel? May the Holy Spirit work within you that being born of water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's our joy to welcome you, our new brother and sister in Christ. Congregation, please join me in the response. Through baptism, you are incorporated into the Holy Spirit, into God's new creation, and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. We are all one in Christ Jesus. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome you as members of the family of Christ. Congregation, may we all remember our baptisms and be thankful. When we see water, the bodies of water around us in the Lake Michigan, when we turn on our faucets, when we splash with water balloons as a child, when we see the water, may we remember God's grace and be thankful. Amen.
So we're going to invite each young person up, and I'm going to be laying hands on and I just to let you know that I have been telling these confirmands from early this year that my hand would be heavy on their heads. It's a reminder of the saints who have come before them and of God's love heavy in their life till now and grace for all time. And it is a hand that reminds us of all that we can do in response to God's love. So I want to invite Anna and her family up. I prayed for Anna while she was in her mother's womb. I held Anna when she was just a few days old. I had the privilege of baptizing her, and as she becomes a young adult, it is wonderful to be with her as she professes her faith in Jesus Christ. Anna, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born of the water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Let us welcome Anna.
I'd like to invite Stephanie and her family up, and I will say this a few times. I met Stephanie as this tiny little cute child. It has been such a joy to see you grow in knowledge and skill and in joy of life, and joy to know your parents too. Stephanie Barrett, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through the water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to invite Ryan and his family forward. Now, Ryan I met when he was a little bit older, but this is what I know. This young man is thinking, and he's asking all the right questions, and he's continuing by the grace of God to grow in the Spirit. I give thanks for him and for his family that surrounds him in love. Ryan Bell, the Holy Spirit work within you that having been born through the water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I want to invite Carly up. And Carly, as Carly comes forward, many in the congregation know that she blesses us with her joyful music, her song, her dance. But I want to tell you that if you haven't seen it, she blesses the children of this congregation in powerful ways. And it has been just a joy to see her from a small child grow and a blessing for the whole family. Loan, I see you back there working. God bless you for your ministry as well. Carly Bott, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through the water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Ethan up, and one of the first words that comes to mind when I think about Ethan is entrepreneur. But the second one that comes to mind is good. It is such a pleasure to meet people when you know that not only are they good, but for years to come, people will say, this is a man of God. What a blessing for our youth, for all of our youth that are surrounded by such faithful parents. Ethan Fassione, the Holy Spirit work within you that having been born through the water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Ryan Hemphill can come forward, and his family and mentor. If you're wondering who the person is putting the stole on, this is a mentor who has traveled with each of these confirmands. When I think about Ryan, okay, I'm gonna go athlete here, but I'm gonna also say this: that Ryan is also an example to the people around him of how you live like a regular life, but you live it in a faithful way. Oh boy, is this church blessed and this community blessed by these faithful young people. Ryan, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through the water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to call Colin up. Colin, like several of you, I've known since, Colin, you were like, well, very, very, very young. And it has been a joy to watch you grow in the Spirit, grow in confidence in life. And you are a blessing to your parents, right? Yes, okay. And you are a blessing to this church and to the community. Thank you so much. Colin Robertson, the Holy Spirit work within you that having been born through the water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Her family. Isabel is, and her brother Lucas are newer to our congregation. But this is what I want to say about Isabel, and perhaps her mentor would agree. There is a spiritual wisdom in you. There's a spiritual wisdom in you that is blessing people around you, and it's been a privilege to be in ministry with you. Isabel saying, the Holy Spirit work within you that having been born through the water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Invite all of our confirmands to come back forward as well as Lucas. Not only do we celebrate the confirmation of these students, but we also are welcoming Lucas as he transfers his membership. Lucas is transferring his membership from a previous United Methodist Church, and he was part of the confirmation class is kind of a mentor as also as a helper as part of that this spring. Lucas, as a member of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If please so, say I will. Members of the House of God, I commend these persons to your love and to your care. These 9 young folks before us. Do all in your power to increase their faith, to confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. I would welcome your response on the screen. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Amen. May the God of all grace, who has called us into eternal glory in Christ, may he establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Amen. Let's welcome these students one more time. Invite forward Ethan as he's going to share with us an offering message.
First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake is committed to helping people grow in their knowledge, love, and service towards God. As a confirmation student, I have had the opportunity to grow in my faith over the past year, and one highlight from that was just getting to know a lot of people from the church better. And when you give to our church, you support our ministries, and it enables students such as myself to grow in their faith through confirmation. At this time, I invite you to share your offerings by giving online at our church website at brightonfumc.org/giving, or by placing your offering in the offering plates as you leave worship this morning. Thank you for your generosity, and thank you for giving so that kids and youth like myself have a great church to learn and grow.
As we end this time of worship, the ushers will dismiss you out by rows, and then I would invite you to make your way to the front of the church, to the grass to the front of the church. There you're going to be invited to greet Pastor Sherry and greet Pastor George. Have a bit of fellowship time out there on the front lawn. That'll give us plenty of space to mix and mingle. And confirmands, as you're dismissed, we're going to go head on right out to the sanctuary and take a couple of group photos first, and then we're going to just enjoy some fellowship time. So this day, may you go forth with the love of God always with you, the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ around you, and the Holy Spirit within you. We have those little mustard seeds. The question is, what are we going to do with this great gift that God has given us? Lord, where would you like me to be in my giving? Go in peace this day. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.